America. All right, take your Bibles into Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 this morning. And so we're in the new year, and we're looking for goals. We need to have some goals every single year. I encourage that, that you have some goals for the Lord, some goals for your family, some goals to personal goals as well. You know, we always know the New Year's resolution, maybe it's to lose 20 pounds, 10 pounds, or exercise more, eat more healthy, different things like that. But I'm going to look at some 10 goals. Now, this isn't just for the new year. This can be any time of year. But 10 goals for your family. And we're going to look at two passages of Scripture, look at Proverbs 22 and then Psalm 127. Now, this isn't just for married people. This isn't just for people that have kids or grandkids. This is for anybody. It doesn't matter if you're a family of one person, that this message is for you. 10 goals that you can have in the year 2021, and not just for this year, but areas that you can have goals in every single year. So Proverbs 22:6, we know this verse very, very well, and then we're going to be in Psalm 127. Proverbs 22, verse number 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now look at Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our message this morning. Dearly Father, I pray that you'll bless our time together. I pray, dear Lord, that you give me clarity of thought as I preach this morning. And Lord, though it's so different not having many people here, but Lord, I know those many are watching online. I pray that you give me clear thoughts as I preach. And this morning, Lord, that we would want to have goals for this year, that ask you, Lord, areas where we can improve, where we can do better, dear Lord Jesus. As we come into Vision Sunday next week, I pray that our goal also would be to serve you in this place in a more effective way. All of us can grow. All of us can do more, Lord. All of us can draw closer to you. I pray that you will bless this message and give me the words to say. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. 10 goals for your family. So right here we looked at two passages of Scripture that have a lot to do with raising children. Two things that we can look at from these particular verses is that the first thing is that we are in charge as parents, and of your husband, you're in charge of your whole family and wives, the prime minister there, if you will, in that you guide the direction of your children. Where your children go and what they do is indeed a large part what you train them to do, to train them in the way that they should go. But also, as we look at Psalm 127, we see the analogy given of that children are like arrows in the hands of a mighty man. And what do you do with an arrow? You shoot it in a particular direction. Whether we are guiding or whether a lack of guiding, we are responsible for guiding our families and guiding our children. Also, we're responsible for guiding our lives. And so, as I mentioned, this is not just for those like, well, you know, sometimes you hear a message like this. Well, this is for those, you know, that are married and have kids and families. You know, this doesn't apply to me. This can apply to any person. So maybe this morning, so I'm going to make these my 10 personal goals. If you're a young person watching, a teenager, make a goal that you would make these goals your focus for this year. So let's look at number one this morning. 10 goals for your family. Number one, to be closer to God. To be closer to God. Do we have a desire this year to draw closer to the Lord? I think last year, 2020, a lot of people, revival took place in a lot of places. I know revival took place here in March, and we're so glad to have Brother Bosler here and have some preaching and really focus on drawing closer to the Lord. And I believe that happened in the year 2020. Many times in the midst of adversity, we are encouraged to draw closer to God. But this year, is it your goal to be closer to God than you were last year or the year before that? We know that if there's been a time in your life when you've been closer to God, then we have backslid and we have wandered away. But this year, is it your goal? I am going to be, not I'm going to try, I want to be, I am going to be closer to God this year. James chapter 4, verse number 8 tells us that the closer we draw to God, the closer He draws to us. And that our desire should be, as parents, as husbands, as wives, as a single person, to be close to God. Now, many times we'll focus on this. We'll focus, yes, we need to be closer to God as a couple. We need to be closer to God in our personal lives. But what about as parents, are we encouraging our children to be closer to God? James chapter 4, verse number 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So if you're going to draw close to God, there's going to be some things that happen. You're going to have to get rid of anything that is in the way. Sin creates roadblocks. Attitudes create roadblocks. Lust of the flesh create roadblocks. And if you're going to draw closer to God, you're going to have to dismantle those roadblocks and move forward and being closer to Him. But how do we do that? By having a regular devotional time. I've preached this many times, and it doesn't change. To have a time with God every single day, to have a time of prayer every single day, to take time to study the Word of God, to be growing, to read good books about our relationship with God. Are we growing in that? Saw somebody, I think it was a post somewhere, that was a pastor, that he said that, you know, on iPhones and things, they have the screen time that comes up. And he said his average screen time was about 3 hours and 10 minutes. And he said, if I had done that, now that's 3 hours and 10 minutes per day of the week. That was average for the week. Every day, 3 hours and 10 minutes. He goes, if I had spent that much time in reading my Bible, I would have read through my Bible 23 times this year. If we spent 3 hours a day reading the Bible, we could read through the entire Bible 23 times in 1 year. It's not a matter of us not having any time. It's a matter of, are we making that a priority to be close to Him in His Word? But there's more to it than just that. Are we teaching others to be close to Him? We can't teach our kids if we're not being close to God ourselves, right? Remember, we do as I do, not as I say. We need to be the example. But how do we teach our kids to be close to God? Even at a young age, do you teach your children to pray at the table? Doesn't matter if they're 2 or 3 years old. Say, well, they don't understand prayer. I'll tell you what, some of the most earnest prayers I've seen 3- and 4-year-olds pray over their meal. I mean, very earnest, trying to communicate with the Lord. Teach them those things. Teach them to be close to God. Teach them to ask God. Teach them to bring their requests to God. Teach them about the Bible. The children are never too young to hear Bible stories, to hear what God has done for them, that God loves them. What about your older kids? Do you challenge your teenagers to have goals for God? What does God want you to do? What goals do you have for God this year? A lot of times we focus on, well, God's plan for our teenagers doesn't start until they're 18. You know, God's plan starts with them after they are out of high school, and then all of a sudden that God has a plan here, and then God has a direction for them. Guess what? If they're not close to God when they get to those points in their life, they're not going to make the right decisions. Oh, we need to be closer to God as a family, not only to draw to God personally, but teach our kids to draw close to God. And maybe ask young people, I'm going to ask you right now, young people, you're watching this morning, what goal do you have in serving the Lord this year? Like, well, I'm 13, 14, 15. I can't do anything. You're wrong. God has a place for you. And I'm going to talk more about that next week. So young people, be ready. Be ready to step up and serve. So the goal number one, to be closer to God. Well, I better keep moving or else we're never going to be done. All right. Number two, to make the Bible the law of your house. Make the Bible the law of your house. All of us have rules in our home. At least we should. If you don't, you need to get some. But we, whether we say they're spoken or unspoken, there are some do's and don'ts in everybody's home. Everybody has that. Maybe it's different things, but there are some rules. I remember in my parents' house, number one thing is don't lie. Don't lie. Always tell the truth. Number two, don't disrespect mom and dad. Number three, don't throw rocks. If you want to know why that was, you can ask me later. Don't throw rocks. My sister has a scar to prove why we don't throw rocks. That was rule number four, don't hit each other with sticks. There's another story behind that. But we all have rules in our home, different things. Maybe it's no yelling in the house or whatever it may be. But we just talked about drawing closer to the Lord, about being in our Bibles. Now, we can read the Word of God, and we can have that desire to be close to God, but does the Bible run your home? Does the Bible, do we run our home in accordance with the Word of God? That this, when we come to church, we know that the Bible is our sole authority for faith and practice. But in our house, is it our sole authority for faith and practice? Because people act one way in church, and they act a different way at home. The way we are at church, and the way we live at church, and the way we talk at church, is it the same way when we get back to the house? Look at Psalm 1. Turn over there. Psalm 1. Look at the first two verses there. And we must have that desire that no matter what happens, the Bible is going to be the center of our house. Doesn't matter if you're a home of one person, you're a single person, or you're married, or you have kids or grandkids. It doesn't matter. The Bible must be the core of your home. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Guess what? We're blessed if we don't live by the world's standards of things and the world's philosophies of things. If you look at it, it will create some mess. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Day and night. All the time. Habitually. He delights in it. Let's look over at Psalm 19, verse number 7. Psalm 19, verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Say, you know, Pastor, you know, I don't have the background. I don't know how to raise a Christian family. Maybe you're a new convert. Maybe you really get into this place where you want to really grow in the Lord. Guess what? The Bible needs to be the center of our life. And the Bible, I'm so glad God gave us an instruction manual for raising children, for being the right kind of spouse, for having the right standards and rules in your home. If you make the Bible the priority and make the Bible, what are we going to do? Well, I'm going to look at what the Bible says in this area of our life. That should be a goal. If the Bible isn't. Now, the Bible can be in some areas, but not in others. But that we're going to make it a goal this year, make a commitment that our entire home is going to be run by the Word of God. You know, that means that there's no dishonesty. That means that there's no ungodly anger. That means that we're going to have things in our home that are pleasing to Him. That if there's something, whether it be an entertainment choice or an activity or language, whatever it is, that violates Scripture, hey, we're going to bring ourselves into the scriptural place and live by the law of kindness to be liberated by the Word of God. If you do that, God will bless your home in a special way this year. Make the Bible the law of your house. Number three, a goal for this year is to obey. To obey. Now, this is pretty broad here. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. You know, we can make the Bible our priority and make it the law of our home. But do you do what it says? Do you teach your children to do what it says? You know, I hope you expect your children to obey. When you ask them to do something, they go off and you think they're doing it, but they find them doing something else, and they didn't obey. Do you say, oh, well, that's fine, just get to it sometime? You know, God doesn't treat us that way when it comes to His Word. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest, here it is, observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, it's not enough just to meditate on it, to listen to it. That's great, but that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You know, we can read the Bible, we can study the Bible, but putting it into practice is something else entirely. We can make the Bible the law of our house, but then we don't do what it says. Let's be honest. We all sometimes struggle with doing what the Bible says. That we're to be kind in this situation when we really don't want to be kind. To forgive when we really don't want to forgive. To trust God when we really want to take it into our own hands. We all struggle with that. But do we make that a goal, that I'm going to obey all that God tells me to do? That I'm going to teach my children to obey the rules of the house, which should be based on the Bible, by the way. I understand there's other rules that people have in their homes that, based on the different situations that arise in their homes, that's fine. But if you have rules, do you expect your children to obey them? Do you obey them? Well, that's a big one. You know, you have rules for your home that you shouldn't do and do certain things, but make sure that your children can't do certain things. Understand adults are always going to be able to do certain things because they have to do them. You know, they get to stay up later than the kids do. But make sure that if you make a rule that it's fairly enforced. You know, well, you kids aren't allowed to have cookies, but I'm going to eat a whole pack of them in front of you. Okay, make sure that you're being fair with that. But that if you expect your children to obey, that you obey as well. There's goal number four. Goal number four, almost halfway there. Number four, to make church attendance a priority. Look at Psalm 27, verse number 4. Psalm 27, verse number 4. To make church attendance a priority. That whenever we can be here, we are here in the house of the Lord. I understand different ones at different times. They have job shifts and different things, military work and all these different things. They can't make it to every service. But the difference is they want to be here, they just can't be. But if you don't desire to be here, if you just come one service a week or two services a week, you know, we all can grow in that. Is your desire, can you really say this of yourself? Psalm 27, verse number 4 said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." This was the desire of David, of the psalmist here. This is the psalm of David. His desire was to be in the house of the Lord, that he would live there, and that he would inquire of the Lord at the temple, that he would be there all the time. His desire was to be close to the Lord. Is our desire to be in church on Sunday morning? You know, it never was a question of whether or not we were going to be in church. You know, this morning, I'll tell you what, it was hard for me to cancel services this morning, okay? We went to church in blizzards, okay? We went to church in freezing rain. We went to church in all kinds of things. And we drove 45 minutes. So it was really hard for me, being from the north, to cancel church. It was very difficult. I know a lot of texting with the different northern people this morning. Hey, this isn't bad, Pastor. Let's have church. You know, it's not bad. But, you know, it's more I'm worried about the other people out there. If you've ever driven out there in the snow with people from Texas, they don't know how to drive. So I think it's more dangerous. I don't think you're dangerous to anybody, but other people can be dangerous to you. If you're from the south, I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend, but you don't know how to drive in the snow, okay? But to make church attendance a priority is extremely important. You know, to cancel services, that was hard for me. To cancel services in the past year because of the pandemic was hard for me. But you know what? Whenever we can. And by the way, being at home and watching online is not the same as being here. Amen. There's actually a lot of churches that when they came back to service, they didn't have streaming for about a month or two. So that people didn't have the excuse, well, we can just turn on the live stream. We don't have to get up and get dressed. It's easier for us. Understand certain people can't come, health reasons, different things like that. But guess what? Your desire is to be here. You just can't be right now. But we should never use the live stream as an excuse not to be in God's house. Because if you're not here, you can't serve. And by the way, the purpose of being in church is to do something for the Lord, not just to sit and take up a pew, but to do something for God. Maybe church hasn't been the biggest priority this year, but will you make it a top priority along with the Bible? By the way, being in church is biblical. To be in the house, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Especially as we see the day approaching. I'm telling you what, the day is coming. A lot of things are changing in our country in the next couple of years. It's coming. We need to be in God's house. Make church attendance a priority. Number five. Look at Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Goal number 5 is to pray for your family. Pray for your family. Do you pray for your kids? Hope you do. to pray for their future, to pray for future spouse for them, to pray for God's desire and will, and pray for God's protection upon their life, to intercede for them, to ask God's merciful hand be upon them. That's what we see in Job chapter 1, verse number 5. Job interceding on behalf of his children. And it was so when the days of their feasting was gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. That his desire was that he would pray for his children. He offered sacrifice for them. That just in case they had said something in their heart, not even outwardly, but that they had done something in their heart and in their attitude against God. He prayed for them. As I think it's a universal thing that we know we're supposed to pray for our kids, to pray for God's purpose for them, God's will for them. But what about young people? Young people, if you're listening this morning, listen up, I'm talking to you. Do you pray for your parents? Do you pray for your siblings? Do you pray for God to use them? I know maybe we pray for God to use us, but do we pray for God's protection upon them? To pray for one another? Guess what? You can't be mad at somebody you're praying for. Do you pray for your wife? Wives, do you pray for your husband? Guess what? It's hard to be mad at somebody and fuss with somebody that you prayed for. Do you pray for your family? Do you pray for your family? I encourage you to do that. Make that a goal. We're going to pray for our family. Make that a priority. Number six, to guide your children. If you have children today, to guide them. If you have grandchildren, great-grandchildren, guide your children. I'm going back to what we looked at first in Proverbs 22 and verse number 6 this morning. Proverbs 22, verse number 6. Come on in. Good morning. Proverbs 22, 6 told us that that we need to train up a child in the way he should go. In the way that he should go. In the way that God would have them go. Because we know there's a right way and a wrong way. There's the right path and the wrong path. There's the narrow way, which is God's, and there's the broad way that leads to destruction. As a parent, are you guiding your children? Now, I know we look at that and we say, well, I don't want to be that over-controlling parent that just forces our children into the mold and forces them to do what they want them, what I want them to do. I'm not saying that. What I am saying that, are you guiding them toward the things of God? Are you guiding them? Decisions are so important. Decisions are so important. Deciding how we are going to go, what direction we're going to go in our life. Deciding what job we're going to take or whatever it is. It's seemingly small and simple things. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. We were just talking about different decisions we made in our life. How that, we can look at, not, we always look at like, well, bad decisions can ruin your life, but also good decisions can make an effect that is unbelievable, that you never thought things would happen. Because of one good decision, so many other blessed things from God come to be. Looking at different situations in our life, different decisions we've made in ministry, guess what? Help your children make decisions for God. Expect something out of your children. Like, well, if they just, hang around and do whatever, they can graduate high school. Or even that, they don't even have to graduate high school. They can just get their GED. I understand not everybody's going to graduate high school. There's some people that get GEDs. Nothing wrong with that, okay? Everybody's situation is different. But that they just going to, whatever they finish their schooling, that they're just going to kind of bump around and, they're just going to sit in the back row and just hang around the church and they're not going to do anything. Guess what? That should never be our desire for our children. Our desire should be that they should work hard and that they should serve the Lord and that they should do whatever God would have them to do. And we say that, well, I'm just up for whatever God has for them. But parents, they need a little guiding and help along the way. Say, well, I just leave it up to God to tell them. Guess what? We need to help guide them and give them options. Ask them to pray about things. Pray about this. Pray about that. And just say, well, I'm for them serving the Lord. But if you don't give them any guidance, they're never going to make it there. If you don't invest in your children and guide them and help them from a young age all the way up, we think the guiding takes place when they're 16. If you start guiding at 16, you're too late. You need to start guiding when they're young and guiding them toward, you know, God's going to ask you to do something one day. God's going to speak to your heart. Are you ready to do it? Be telling them at 7, 8, 9 years old. Say, you know, whatever God wants you to, if He wants you to be a doctor or a police officer or a soldier or a preacher or a missionary, whatever it is that God wants you to do, make sure your heart's tender. Keep it tender toward the Lord. Guide your children. In guiding your children, that means sometimes you got to tell them no. Tell them no to certain things. Tell them no, they can't have this. Tell them no, they can't go there. Tell them no, they can't have this friend. That's part of guiding. But guess what? If you guide them in the right way, guide them using the Word of God, they won't depart from it. Guide your children. Number seven. 10 goals for your family. Number seven. This should be a goal for this year, to serve the Lord as a family. You know, we as adults, we look at, well, we can serve in an area of serving in ministry. But what about your children? I understand maybe if you have a baby and little small children, they can't help you with certain things. But if you have children, you know, they're, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, you know, 20 years old, they should be able to help you in a ministry. Get involved in a ministry that involves the whole family. Serve the Lord together. Look at Psalm 100, verse number 2. Psalm 100 and verse number 2. And to do it joyfully. Oh, when we serve God, we need to serve with joy. Psalm 100, verse number 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Wouldn't it be a great thing to be able to serve the Lord with your family? Whether it be on visitation, whether it be going as a family and inviting people to church with a new move-in ministry, or cleaning a building, or raking the yard, or trimming a bush, or teaching a class, whatever it is. Wouldn't it be great to serve the Lord together? You know, many times you look at, well, our children, you know, they can't serve God until they're 15. They can't serve the Lord. There's ministries, there's things that you can do together. Serve the Lord as a family. There's no greater joy than doing it, serving the Lord as a family. Maybe you say, well, we don't have kids. We're a couple, or maybe we had our kids, but, you know, our kids are out of the house. Find a ministry where you can serve the Lord as a couple. Serve the Lord together. Number eight, so 10 goals for your family. Number eight, to be a good testimony. The goal for your family, to be the goal as an individual, as a couple, as a family, that you be a good testimony. Turn to Mark chapter 5. A good testimony. Well, what does that mean? Well, Mark chapter 5 is talking about testimony. Really, the meaning of testimony has changed a little bit. Testimony is talking about as a testimony that you give in a courtroom. And it's not just our lifestyle that is part of it, but also what we say with our mouth. Are we testifying that we're saved to people? Are we testifying that we're a Christian? Are we testifying that we love the Lord? Are we testifying that we live by the Bible? Are we being vocal about that? Mark 5, verse 18 says, and when he was coming to the ship, wait a minute, I think it's actually Matthew. Hold on a second. Matthew 15. Hold on. I should turn to Colossians chapter 4, verse number 5. Let's turn over there. Second verse there. No one of my typos was going to catch up to me here. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 5. Colossians 4, 5 says this. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, those that are in the world, those that see us. So are we a good testimony? When we go to the store, are our kids a good testimony? And how they act and what they say, how they treat one another. I mean, are your kids just beating each other to death with cans in the canned good aisle? Or are they being kind and gentle to one another? I know that's hard sometimes with siblings. You know, it is amazing that every time, this happens every time, we have, you know, our kids usually do great at dinner, doing wonderful things. But whenever we have guests over, it's usually the missionary the visiting evangelist, a pastor friend, somebody, and our kids act like they were never taught a manner, they were never taught anything, that they have the devil himself in their heart, and that they do that sometimes. You know, and I understand there are those times, you know, you're telling them, hey, I know, and you're telling them, you know, really, they don't really act like this. They don't act like this all the time, you know, and the pastor, you know, evangelist, say, well, we know, we understand that. I'm not talking about that. I understand there are times when your children misbehave that are beyond anybody's control. But on a regular basis, we've had the people come in at different times, visit the church, and they come in, and their children, you can tell, have not been guided or disciplined or anything. They come in and they just scream at the top of their lungs. They hit people, different things like that. And guess what? That's not a good testimony of the Lord. How you act as parents. What happens when that happens? Do you lose your cool, or do you treat that, be under control with coolness? And, you know, sometimes your children really do something to push your buttons. You know, how do you react, especially in public or even in your home? Do you have a good testimony? Are you wise toward them that are without? Are you wise in how you act? Are you wise in what you say? We need to be careful of those things. We need to make sure that we're being a good testimony for the Lord. Are we being a good testimony, a good enough testimony that if we go to our neighbor's house, we invite them to revival, they want what we have? Or, you know, our neighbors know how we really are sometimes. Are we going to be a good testimony? Number nine, 10 goals for your family. Two left. Now, goal number nine, to love and forgive in the face of failures. To love and forgive in the face of failures. We're in Colossians already. Look back one page to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 13. Oh, do we love and forgive? Guess what? People fail us. Our kids are going to fail us. They're going to do something that really disappoints us. Our spouse is going to do something that disappoints us. Somebody in our life are going to do something that they fail us. Do we have love and forgiveness for them? Do we have a limit on how far that love and forgiveness will go? Do we say, well, yes, we love and forgive up to a point, but if they do this, I'm never going to forgive them. I'm not going to show them love. I'm not going to do that. Well, let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse number 13. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. Love and forgiveness. Guess what? When somebody hurts you, the last thing you want to do is forgive them. When somebody betrays you, if you will, the last thing you want to do is forgive them, to love and forgiveness. Christ, we have betrayed Christ. We have been treasonous at times, but Christ forgives us. Christ cleanses us. And just as it says here, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Is that our desire, to forgive and to love? Hey, when our children fail, we don't plan for our children to fail. They will. They'll make mistakes. They'll lie to you. They'll do something to dishonor you. Are you going to love them and forgive them? Young people, guess what? Your parents are going to fail you this year. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to get angry. They're going to be unjust. Something's going to happen. Maybe it's a miscommunication. Are you going to love and forgive them in the face of their failures? By the way, young people, don't sit there and say, well, my parents are this and that and the other, and you have a list of their failures. Guess what? Forgive them and move on. Also, parents, don't have a look at your child. Oh, my child's never going to amount to anything. They have a long list of failures, and I remember each one of them. How about you forgive them and move on, and don't sit there and rehearse the failures of those around you? That's a bitter spirit that does that. Oh, they're sitting around, and we rehearse the failures of those that we care the most about, how they have failed us, how they have betrayed us. Oh, that we would forgive it and move on. Don't let the root of bitterness grow up in your heart. Love and forgive in the face of failures. Let that be a goal for you this year, and always grow in that area. And that brings us to number 10. To treat your family with kindness. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 4. to treat your family with kindness. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. I encourage you to study 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, how true love behaves and acts. If we're to love our family the way we need to, we're going to treat our family with kindness. We got to be careful ruling our house with a fist of iron. You know, the law is a wonderful thing. The Bible, to live by rules, is an important thing. But it's not all about the rules. It's about a relationship with God. It's also about a relationship with your family. Do we have kindness? Do we have mercy and grace? Now, I'm not talking about that we're soft on our in rules in our home, and that we need to discipline, and yes, and we need to have right and wrong. But are there times where you show mercy and graciousness that you could inflict discipline, but you decide to be merciful, that you'd instead decide to explain to them the love of Christ and to show them the love of Christ, to treat them with kindness no matter what anybody does, that you're going to be kind and that you're not going to be hard and that you're not going to be rough? Oh, we all need to grow in that area. You know, especially people that have kind of a type A personality. Sometimes we cannot be the kindest people. We would want people to have, especially people that have a very strong sense of right and wrong. Guess what? We can be kind of rough on people that get on the wrong side of things. We need to be kind, merciful, and gracious. So let's review our 10 goals. Number one, to be closer to God. Oh, that we desire to be closer to God. Number two, to make the Bible the law of your house and of your life. Number three, to obey what it says, to obey the Lord, to obey no matter what man says. It's better for us to obey God rather than men. Number four, to make church attendance a priority. Number five, to pray for your family, to pray for your spouse, to pray for your children. Children, to pray for your parents and pray for your siblings. To guide your children, parents, not just mom or not just dad, but as a team to guide them. To help guide your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Guide them in the ways of the Lord, to serve the Lord. Number seven, to serve the Lord as a family this year. To make that a priority, to find ways to serve the Lord as a family. Number eight, to be a good testimony. Number nine, to love and forgive in the face of failures. And number 10, to treat your family with kindness. Goals for the year. But they shouldn't be goals just for 2021. When we get to December 31st at 11:59 p.m. and it turns into 2022, hey, we don't have to do these things anymore. But the goal should be to incorporate these things into our life. Maybe we used to be better in these areas, but we've grown lax. Maybe we need to restoke the fires and reset those goals this year. Whatever the case may be, I encourage you to make a decision for the Lord. Join us again on Wednesday. We're not going to have a service tonight due to the weather, but we are going to be back on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And then next Sunday is Vision Sunday during the 11 o'clock service. We're still going to have Sunday school at 10. Going to have van routes, everything running. We tried to run van route today. We apologize to those maybe watching you who are going to come, but we just thought it was a little too dangerous with the weather. But look forward to Sunday school at 10, but our main service, 11 o'clock and 6 o'clock service next Sunday. It's going to be our vision for the new year and how you can get involved in serving the Lord here at Tabernacle Baptist Church and to see what God has for us and to pray how you can be a part of that. So we're going to pray and be dismissed, and we'll see you all on Wednesday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I pray that this message would be an encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for those being here this morning. We pray that you will guide and direct and bless. We thank you that we're able to meet this morning, and we pray that you would encourage us in these areas to remember the scriptures that we just heard. I pray if they touched our hearts, Lord, that we would make an altar right where we are, no matter if it's in our living room or pull over the side of the road, and to make a decision in these areas, to make a commitment to make these the goals for our family for the new year. Oh, Lord, I pray that you will guide and direct.